I was frightened by the sight of a life of pain. Whether easy days or complicated, it was all the same. It was scary. The main emotion I felt was shame. Tied myself to opinions of others while depression had me change. I remain with so many thoughts of doubt. Having issues with my identity, I lost it in the crowd. But I changed. It was life that taught me how to be the man you see and hear right now.
Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. First of all, I want to thank the Most High for all He do for us, y'all, knowingly and unknowingly. Second of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, bringing us back to the Most High bosom. Thank you, Yahweh, and thank you, Yahweh Shai, for all You do for us, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to thank my interstate and out-of-state people for listening, y'all. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. Hey, fam. I want to touch on a topic today, and I didn't know how to go with it, because everything I say, I don't write it down or whatever, and I'm trying to get the understanding of the thing that came up into my realm. And I want to talk a little bit more about it. It's about IQ. You know what I'm saying? Now, when that word came in my spirit realm, it started tickling my intellect. IQ. And as we look at it, you know, I try to figure it out. Because the school system now are dropping the educational level so dumbed down now that you won't even know nothing. So that bumps a whole lot of it out of your IQ. And I looked at IQ in many ways, right? Then I said, let's check on spiritual IQ. Whoa. So my thing is, what is your spiritual IQ? Is it of the world? Or is it with the Most High? Your spirituality. Because you already know when you die, you're going somewhere. This spirit that gets you up talking and doing what you do all day, it gonna leave that body. If you don't want to think about it now, you're gonna think about it on your deathbed. I tell you now, you'll think about it on your deathbed. So my thing is, you know, most people are not intellectually. Have an intellectual IQ spiritually. And most people don't have the intellectual and world IQ. And their IQ is low in relationships and all this, man. So IQ, to me, you could put it on different categories, if y'all know what I mean. And IQ spiritually, we have as a nation and as a people, I would say an 80. Because they say what? Between 50 to 55, almost up to 70, is borderline retardation. See, we two steps behind. Two more steps, we'd be damn near retardation for our nation. Because our IQ as a nation is what? If we be honest with each other, when we look at each other's men, or we think, we'll be like, yeah. Just to be honest. And I noticed, and when I listen to a lot of people talking, and a lot of people talking about relationships and stuff like that, women talking and all that, that's bringing me down to what her IQ is. Because in order to be intelligent, according to the statistics of colonialism, white supremacy, and KKK, that your mindset has to be in line with these numbers. 80 to 114 is average. 115 to like 130 something, 150 something or something like that is average. And then you got the two something, one, the high numbers and stuff like that is so I know we're not average. We're not in that average range, above average. We damn near below average as a nation. And if you was real about yourself, we could see that. And I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about the nation of the black man and the black woman. And our relationship. The black woman, her IQ in the relationship, a majority of them, I'm not going to say all, and if the majority of them is, you know, it's not even above average. It's in that 80 range. How you dealing with a man, how you dealing with a woman, and these men, they IQ, and I'm checking it out, so I'm looking at them now. See, this ring of what their IQ is, knowing the intelligence of their footsteps. And a lot of people get intimidated when you got a kind of high IQ. That's why the police force, when I was doing my investigation, they don't desire people with high IQ. They desire people with low IQ. So now, if they desire people with low IQ, and you're supposed to be dealing with the public, that's something wrong. That's something matter. So that tells me that they want your standards of IQ to be low level so that you won't be intelligent. And half of us rolling like that. You know, half of us molested by white supremacy, KKK, and colonialism, that, you know, our IQ is very little. Damn near, what? We can say 79. Retardation is between 50 and 55, almost up to 70, up to 77. What it say, 77? Yeah. And we at 79, 78. I don't get it, y'all. And I ask, what is your IQ spiritually? If you read my IQ, yeah, okay, you doing the commandments? No, we ain't going through that. You know what I'm saying? And you know what you're supposed to be doing. How about your IQ in relationship and building that relationship? What is that? What is your IQ in building relationship? If you have a low IQ, right? So your IQ is very low. So what you're dealing in relationship-wise or anything else is going to be below. It's going to be below standards, and it's just damn near retardation. You closer to retardation than you close to above. And we always don't want to excel to above or to the next number, to the next third highest number. We don't want to increase. We want to decrease. So we slowly decrease it. Because as a nation, we need to step up. And we notice they put us in a trick cat when I always talk about this trick cat that the Caucasian man and the non-pigmentation woman did on us. Oh, there he go. Because most of y'all compromise. The Bible says you go hand in hand with the wicked still gonna perish. So the Bible said the wicked still gonna perish, and you hand over hand with them. Free blah blah blah, la la la. We no justice, no peace. All that other crazy stuff. But what the Most High say? We so much our IQ and intellectual spirituality, intellectual everything is distorted, misplaced, misappropriate, and all in a delusional mindset. Because we already see a lot of IQ in different realms, such as a woman say, I want me a high value man, but she got 3 children. I want one. I don't want no nigga but a high value man. So what is actually her IQ realism? Literally. Intellectual. What is her IQ of that? Unless you find one out of the dozen. But most high value men, high maintenance men, who high rolling, ain't gonna be dealing like that. You might get that point one, but he might be a child molester. See, our communication, how we talk to each other and how we deal with each other I get that at a 78. Damn, Faze. You saying the nation is almost damn near retardation? Now look at us as a nation, y'all. Our IQ as a nation is very, very low. And look at Africa too, Africa low. They damn near retardation. I'm giving them 76. Damn, Faze, you call them retarded. Damn near borderline. Because your IQ had to be very retarded to let somebody else go in your country and steal your land and eat good while you got children and wives and old people eating dirt. Ain't even living. What is the IQ of that? What is the IQ of these people going out here voting and talking about these politicians, believing in all these politicians, and look, we still like the same what we were 20 years ago. Talking about the same thing 20 years ago. The same game. What is the American people IQ? I think the American people IQ is at 76. 76, borderline 77. We have to be mentally, we ain't mentally retarded because we see what's going on. Because we were mentally retarded, we'll be letting this stuff continue to manifest like it is. So we got some kind of leverage, 77, 78, got some things, but we ain't thinking the way we think to enhance them numbers. The school system, how they got us keep on working, how they keep on taking our taxes and taking all our taxes. That's one thing I don't understand. Our IQ as a nation, our IQ as people, we are very, very, I hope We gonna look at each other. When the Most High come and all this come, and we get back into our witcher car, and we can reflect back on this right here, we gonna be like, wow, we was out there. And every nation wanna be like us, but our IQ is lower than anything else when it's dealing with us as a nation. Black man, black woman, Latino man, Latino woman, Native Indian woman, and Native Indian man, these are IQ. You might have a high IQ individually, but how is that high IQ going to benefit a whole bunch of low IQ? How is that going to happen? Just like having a candle with the fan blowing. Having 12 candles out there with the fan blowing, how? Gonna be blowed out after a while. We don't want to see that. We don't want to think about that. That's why we want y'all to think, man. Why is these people trying to be like us and we low standards like Africa? They getting all the goods that we make and we still living like we from Africa. Not throwing Africa on the bus, but Africa should be ashamed of themselves. They got all these other leaders out there. And this is what I say, y'all. These leaders in Africa that's going against the grain, that got America got them by the ball. Britain got them by the ball. Spain got them by the ball. And they sabotaging their own people that look like them and their own land over white supremacy and KKK. What you think their IQ is? What you think their IQ is? These jokers out here, when y'all start putting in reality and watching the things that people do and say and watch their IQ, and if you get the footnote on the IQ, because what you do is how your IQ is rated. And that's your mental state, your mindset. You have a good heart, but your IQ is so low that makes you so, it's just still out of bounds. Nobody want to deal with a weirdo. Nobody want to deal with a person with drama. See? And I ask myself, if our inhabitants of as in our nation, his vibration is very, very low, damn near retardation low. Why everybody idolize us then? Why everybody watching us then? Why everybody trying to be like us and do what we do then? Why? Psalms 83:3. They have taken crafty counsel against our people. They consulted against the hidden ones. Who is the hidden ones? Us, Israel. You see how they stole our history, took our history away from us? They took all our business. They tried to keep us silent. They killed our leaders and everything. Why is this?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about a myriad of leaders. You're not just talking about a single individual.
Right.
And I see a lot of people just be sitting back waiting on a Messiah. They're waiting on that one person.
And but they are too, though.
Who was that?
The other side is far more diligent about looking for that Messiah than we are, because they know where to look. You probably wonder, why do white people pay so much attention to black people if they don't like them? You would think if you didn't like something, why would you be paying attention to it? I don't pay attention to things I don't like.
What's the answer?
The answer is The liar knows what lie he told.
Psalms 83 and 4. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Collusion. All the parties involved have silently agreed, even perhaps without ever talking to each other, they've silently agreed to just not discuss this subject. It's embarrassing and frightening to Jews to consider the possibility that they may actually be descendants of converts and may have very little Israeli blood in them. So they just ignore it. It's collusion. Now, if I were to tell you that blacks, for as many centuries as whites have been superior, if you want, in the Western world, that for just as many centuries blacks were superior, you'd probably find that hard to believe. And you'd wonder how such a fact could be hidden.
2 Ezra 6:57. 2 Ezra 6:57. And now, O Lord, behold, these heathens, which had ever been imputed as nothing, have begun to be lord over us and to devour us?
And the answer is again, collusion. The whites wouldn't want to admit such a thing, because whites like to feel superior and like to think that their superiority is somehow permanent, decreed by God. As for blacks, if you look into the black civilizations that we're going to take a look at momentarily, you find something pretty interesting. You find that those civilizations actually arose as Jewish civilizations.
Now, Jeremiah 50 and 6. My people has been lost sheep. Their shepherd have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resident place.
Now, we live in a nation where blacks are taught that whitey got ahead by being a liar and a thief. So today's so-called black leaders get on the air and proclaim that the way to get ahead in America is for the black man to be a better liar and thief than whitey. I don't know about you, but I've thought about this matter, and there's no question in my mind as to where these so-called black leaders come from. They were put up there by whitey. Now, I'm not going to name any names, but the truth of the matter is that the roots of black greatness historically lay in Judaism. So the blacks who are teaching today that the answer to the question, how do you get ahead, is get the money, dollar, dollar, bill, y'all. You folks know who I'm talking about, and that's what they teach. They don't want to hear any talk about God, so they just ignore it.
Ecclesiasticus 13 and 23. Ecclesiasticus. When a rich man speaketh, every man holdeth his tongue, and look what he saith. They exalt it to the cloud. But if there a poor man speak, they say, what fellow is this? And if he stumble, they will help to overthrow him.
So they just ignore it.
You see what I'm saying? So even if I made it deceitful and I made you think that the answer is over here, but the answer is really over here, I'm still going to be looking over here. Me, the one that tricked, because I know this is the right answer. Black people have lost their identity, but our oppressors have not lost our identity.
Deuteronomy 32 and 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thou father, and he will show thee. The elders, and they will tell thee.
Let's look where our relationship with Ukraine started from. Where did Ukraine come from? The Russian state started gathering itself as a centralized statehood. And it is considered to be the year of the establishment of the Russian state in 862. When the townspeople of Novgorod invited a Varangian prince, Rurik, from Scandinavia to reign. In 882, Rurik's successor, Prince Oleg, came to Kiev. He ousted two brothers, who apparently had once been members of Rurik's squad. So Russia began to develop with two centers of power, Kiev and Novgorod. The next very significant date in the history of Russia was 988. This was the baptism of Russia. When
Genesis 9 and 27. Yahweh shall enlarge Jaffa, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
Vladimir, the great grandson of Rurik, baptized Russia and adopted Orthodoxy, or Eastern Christianity. From this time, the centralized Russian state began to strengthen. Why? Because of the single territory, integrated economic ties, one and the same language, and, after the baptism of Russia, the same faith and rule of the prince. The centralized Russian state began to take shape. Back in the Middle Ages, Prince Yaroslav the Wise introduced the order of succession to a throne, but after he passed away, it became complicated for various reasons. The throne was passed not directly from father to eldest son, but from the prince who had passed away to his brother, then to his sons in different lines. All this led to the fragmentation and the end of Rus' as a single state. But the fragmented Russian state became an easy prey to the empire created earlier by Genghis Khan.
Ecclesiastes 1:9. The things that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Assyrs, namely Batu Khan, came to Rus, plundered and ruined nearly all the cities. The southern part, including Kiev, by the way, and some other cities, simply lost independence, while northern cities preserved some of their sovereignty. And then a unified Russian state began to take shape with its center in Moscow. The southern part of Russian lands, including Kiev, began to gradually gravitate towards another magnet, the center that was emerging in Europe. This was the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. It was even called the Lithuanian Russian Duchy, because Russians were a significant part of this population. But then there was a unification, the union of the Grand Duchy of Lithuania and the Kingdom of Poland. A few years later,
1 Maccabees 8:1. Now Judah had heard of the Romans, that they were mighty and valiant men, and such as would lovingly accept all that joined themselves unto them, and make a ledge and armory with all that came unto them.
Another union was signed, but this time already in the religious sphere. Some of the Orthodox priests became subordinate to the Pope. Thus, these lands became part of the Polish-Lithuanian state. During decades, the Poles were engaged in Polonization of this part of the population. They introduced their language there, tried to entrench the idea that this population was not exactly Russians, that because they lived on the fringe, they were Ukrainians. Originally, the word Ukrainian meant that the person was living on the outskirts of the state, along the fringes, or was engaged in a border patrol service. It didn't mean any particular ethnic group. So the Poles were trying to, in every possible way, to pollinize this part of the Russian lands and actually treated it rather harshly, not to say cruelly. All that led to the fact that this part of the Russian lands began to struggle for their rights. They wrote letters to Warsaw demanding that their rights be observed and people be commissioned here, including to Kiev. Now I will tell you what happened later. And in 1654, even a bit earlier, the people who were in control of the authority over that part of the Russian lands addressed Warsaw, I repeat, demanding that they send them to rulers of Russian origin and Orthodox faith. When Warsaw did not answer them, and in fact rejected their demands, they turned to Moscow, so that Moscow took them away. Russia would not agree to admit them straight away, assuming that the war with Poland would start. Nevertheless, in 1654, the Pan-Russian Assembly of top clergy and landowners, headed by the Tsar, which was the representative body of the power of the old Russian state, this...
Malachi 2:4. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be uttered spoil. He has changed the portion of my people. How has he removed it from me? Turning away, he has divided our field.
To include a part of the old Russian lands into Moscow Kingdom. As expected, the war with Poland began. It lasted 13 years, and then in 1654, a truce was concluded. And 32 years later, I think, a peace treaty with Poland, which they called Eternal Peace, was signed. And these lands, the whole left bank of Dnieper, including Kiev, went to Russia. And the whole right bank of Dnieper remained in Poland. Under the rule of Catherine the Great, Russia reclaimed all of its historical lands, including in the south and west. This all lasted until the revolution. Before World War I, Austrian general staff relied on the ideas of Ukrainianization and started actively promoting the ideas of Ukraine and the Ukrainianization. Their motive was obvious. Just before World War I, they wanted to weaken the potential enemy and secure themselves favorable conditions in the border area. So the idea which had emerged in Poland that people residing in that territory were allegedly not really Russians, but rather belonged to a special ethnic group, Ukrainians, started being propagated by the Austrian general staff. As far back as the 19th century, theorists calling for Ukrainian independence appeared. In 1921, peace with Poland was proclaimed, and under that treaty, the right bank of Dnieper River once again was given back to Poland.
May I ask you, you're making the case that Ukraine, certainly parts of Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, is in effect Russia, has been for hundreds of years. Why wouldn't you just take it when you became president 24 years ago? You have nuclear weapons, they don't. If it's actually your land, why did you wait so long?
I'll tell you. I'm coming to that. So, before World War II, Poland collaborated with Hitler, and although it did not yield to Hitler's demands, it still participated in the partitioning of Czechoslovakia together with Hitler.
Micaiah 2:1. Woe to them that divide iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hands.
as the Poles had not given the Danzig corridor to Germany, had went so far pushing Hitler to start World War II by attacking them. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that the war began, and Poland fell prey to the policies it had pursued against Czechoslovakia, is under the well-known Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. Part of the territory, including Western Ukraine, was to be given to Russia. Thus, Russia, which was then named the USSR, regained its historical lands. In 1922, when the USSR was being established, the Bolsheviks started building the USSR and established the Soviet Ukraine, which had never existed before.
Habakkuk 2 and 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunt proverb against him? And say, woe to him that increases that which is not his, how long, and to him that ladeth himself with thick clay.
Stalin insisted that those republics be included in the USSR as autonomous entities. That is how the Soviet Ukraine was created. After the World War II, Ukraine received, in addition to the lands that had belonged to Poland before the war, part of the lands that had previously belonged to Hungary and Romania. So Romania and Hungary had some of their lands taken away and given to the Soviet Ukraine, and they still remain part of Ukraine. So in this sense, we have every reason to affirm that Ukraine is an artificial state that was shaped at Stalin's will.
Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway, and thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/FaZe5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in a thought, a process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, FaZe380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
Won't you stand? Won't you stand by me?
So first and foremost, I want to give all praises to the Most High Yahweh, and we do so in the name of Mashiach Yahushua, and I pray that this lesson is further edifying to whoever it comes across. So, it's a lot of things I don't like about Western culture and Westernized individuals.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears? You, America!
And one of these things is their perception of marriage. To start, most people in the West think marriage is a monogamous relationship that is formally recognized by the law of man, and they solidify this union by trading rings at the altar after an optional exchange of vows. However, when Adam and Eve were created, there were no priests, courthouses, or rings in existence, which means they never went to have their marriage recognized under the law of man. Furthermore, The first commandment these two were given was to be fruitful and multiply, which means they were told to have intercourse and reproduce without a ring on their fingers. This is important because if you believe marriage involves a ring, priest, and a courthouse, you will have to consider Adam and Eve two people who had intercourse outside of marriage due to them not having these things. And this will make them sinners for following instructions given from the Father, Yahweh, which makes no sense at all due to the Father not leading any man to sin, as we are told in James 1 and 13. With this being said, if the Father didn't consider Adam and Eve sinners for having intercourse, they must have been married in his eyes. But at what point was the marriage made official? And how was this done without the traditional ceremony found in the world today? These questions can only be answered by gaining an understanding of what marriage is in the eyes of our Father, which is why today's video will establish what marriage is and what it isn't using scriptures and history. And Lord willing, whoever has ears to hear is further edified. So before we address what marriage is biblically, let's expose a few facts about modern-day marriage. To start, the ring, priest, and courthouse are all customs of men. For example, the wedding ring can be traced back to pagan Egyptian customs, in which they used rings made from leather and hemp to symbolize love's infinity and eternity. To some, this might sound romantic, but this changes when we learn this custom mimicked another pagan tradition in which Egyptians used gold rings to portray serpents swallowing their own tails to represent the eternal cycle of things. This type of ring was called an Ouroboros, which is also a false deity that is used to mark the heathen's understanding of the Father, Yahweh. This makes it clear that wedding rings have a more sinister meaning behind them, and instead of them being something that established marriage, a wedding ring is a symbol used to pay homage to a pagan deity. Furthermore, due to this deity being a serpent, we know it's another representation of the spiritual demon Satan, as it is written in Revelations 12 and 9, which means a wedding ring symbolizes a union between an individual and the devil. But now let's talk about wedding dresses. When we search for the origins of wedding dresses, many sources claim Europeans started the tradition. They believe Queen Philippa of England started the trend when she married Prince Eric of Pomerania. But this is not the true origin of the wedding dress. When we dive further into history, we find that wedding dresses actually started among Chinese women in the ancient world. In those times, Chinese men and women had specific dress codes in their society, which led to their brides and grooms wearing black robes with red trim over a white undergarment. However, this soon turned into them wearing wedding dresses to represent good luck due to one of their princesses starting the trend. And due to the idea of luck being a pagan custom invented by the Celtics, the wedding dress has pagan roots as well. Moving forward, there are no priests for marriages in the Bible, and this custom only became a thing due to Romans forcing marriages to be done in Christian churches around 800 AD. This means the tradition of being married in a church under a priest to have your relationship accepted before the Father started 859 years ago. And this is an issue due to multiple people being recognized in biblical history as married well before 859 years ago, which brings me to my next point. If there were no churches for people to get married in, how were unions made in the biblical era? Well, when we look into the Old Testament, we find the answer to this question. Genesis 24 and 67, and it reads, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." So for context, Isaac is a patriarch of the nation of Israel, son of Abraham and father of Jacob, making him a grandfather to the 12 sons of Israel. And here we see the process Isaac went through to make Rebekah his wife. With that being said, there was no mention of a white dress or altar, and Rebekah never got a ring with diamonds to solidify this relationship. Instead, Isaac brought Rebekah to his tent, and while in the tent, he took her, which is the biblical way of saying they had intercourse. And these actions alone are what made Rebekah his wife.
Okay, here we go.
Huh, fabulous equipment. Best of the best.
I have air conditioning, too.
Air conditioners?
Well, I suppose it is a bit much.
Shut up, take one.
But let's visit the Strong's Concordance to prove this is the case. So here we see the word took can be defined with many words, but the only definitions that fit the context are mingle and to take a wife. Furthermore, the word mingle is defined as to come together, and as we know, men and women come together through intercourse. So in simple words, when Genesis 24 and 67 said Isaac took Rebekah, it was in reference to them having intercourse. Also, due to there being no action between the intercourse and the claiming of Rebekah, there is nothing else we can say solidified their union. And when we add all of this information together, the Bible is telling us intercourse between two individuals is what solidifies a marriage in the eyes of the Father. But why is this important? Well, due to Western civilization being ignorant, Most people believe the ring is what solidifies a marriage, and this takes away from the importance of women maintaining their virginity until they can give themselves to the right man, which is what was done throughout history. This has led to women completely disregarding their body counts and leaving men with the option of being alone or finding the nearest woman, wringing her past out of her like a wet rag and settling for used goods.
He's out of line, but he's right.
Now, some women might be offended by this, but it's because they don't realize they should respect themselves enough to view their private area as something more valuable than a piece of metal on a finger. If all women were raised with this understanding, there would be less bust downs and thoughts, and they'd be replaced with more modest women who view themselves as the ultimate gift they can give a man. Also, I want to make it clear that I am not coming for the women in the Israelite faith. I understand our sisters made mistakes before the faith just like our brothers, but we know 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us those who follow the Messiah, Yahawashah, are new creatures, which means we are not held accountable for our sins before the faith as long as we maintain our faith. This means a body count doesn't exist between the father and his daughters, and they belong to the man they gave themselves to after waking up to the truth. However, these women are expected to teach the next generation the correct way of a woman, as it is written in Titus 2:4-5, which will keep them from making the mistakes their mothers made before the faith. As for those who aren't in a faith, you are held to a body count, and every time you sleep around, you are further polluting a body meant for one man.
Okay, so before me and John come in, most of you said body count shouldn't matter, doesn't matter, whatever. So if body count doesn't matter, if it shouldn't matter, what is your body count? Natasha, we'll start with you.
Wait, you just asked my body count?
Yeah.
I would rather not say.
You've shared it before.
Yeah, but I realize I don't really want to say it again.
Natasha, you're killing me. All right, Cynthia?
I would prefer not to say. I also prefer not to say. Just out of respect for my family.
For the family. Who's the gangster who's going to actually come in and share? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would rather not say.
Obviously, I'm not going to say.
Okay. One girl starts off the domino effect. Go ahead.
Good.
I won't say. I'm sorry.
I prefer not to say.
Okay, so you refuse to share, yet you think body count doesn't matter. Thus,
because if I say, I'm going to be judged.
Thus,
matter what number.
Stop interrupting. Somewhere.
Martin,
stop interrupting.
Ladies, this is hurting my brain. Studies have empirically shown that women with higher body counts are far more likely to divorce. The same is not true for men. It's biology. You release oxytocin during
relations, that's the pair bonding hormone. So, some deep down, even though you guys say body count doesn't matter, your refusal to share it would indicate to me that it matters. You know it matters, and that's why you refuse to share it.
Also, even though men can't technically cheat, men are still held accountable for sleeping around without the intent to marry, which is fornication. And this makes sleeping around with people dangerous, due to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 telling us fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But now that we know intercourse is marriage, let's talk about the biblical roles of men and women while married.
What happened throughout the 1900s were evil. This legislation, when it passed in the last Congress, had bipartisan support. The concerns we had as a party is it was not strong enough. It was instead of 10-year minimum, we wanted life for people who did this kind of stuff. Well, my concern is this. We have something with a great name, a great mission, and my Democratic friends use it to brand America as racist versus what the Democratic Party has done. So let me give you a little history, because you're right. Anti-lynching bills have been placed for a long time, stopped every single time by the Democratic Party. It was a Democratic Party that fought for slavery. It was a Democratic Party that fought against the anti-lynching bill in 1918, put together by a Missouri Republican. It was a Democratic Party that put together Jim Crow laws. KKK was Jim Crow. By the way, Wall Street, Black Wall Street, destroyed by Democrats. The filibuster, you're right, it's been used to stop civil rights. Democrats have used it to do that. We have something that should be bipartisan right now, a bill that makes sense against anti-lynching. My concern is this. We have a lot of young Black boys today that are lost. that have been raised in families that are dysfunctional, a lot because of Democratic policies. And they can put, they decide to make a mistake, beat somebody up because they hate white people, which they're being taught to do. They can come under this lynching. They have not killed anybody, but they conspired and they've hurt them. They could be put away for life. Why are we changing the definition of lynching when it's so obvious what it is? Is it because we're not getting enough across our country to bring attention to the divisiveness that we're trying to get from my friends across the aisle? We've been fighting against this evil for a long time, and we've come a long, long way, my friends. All we have to do is look around this room. We see how far we've come. So let's go ahead and deal with the Emmett Till bill, the way it was designed, that everybody in a bipartisan way agreed to, and then stop trying to change the language of lynching so it fits any narrative anybody wants to put out there. And all of a sudden, we're dividing off people even more and more in more ways.
Would the gentleman yield?
Yes.
See, y'all. Now, you see out of state. You hear they had the law of lynching and all this and that and that, and they lynching black men, children today. And he trying to pass a law against lynching and how other people are. You heard it. He ain't a Democrat, black dude. Now, if you had a good heart, or you mean well for the people and trying to do the right thing, would you say, yeah? And that should be whatever should be wiped under the table. Told you. They doing it right now. Having these conversations. And the conversation shouldn't be up. They should have had, that conversation should have been solved in the 80s, 85, 70s. See y'all? Your IQ, man. Where is your IQ level? You know, I'm not trying to down y'all when I speak about this IQ, because I'm talking to myself as well. Because I feel like we need to better ourselves and look at ourselves in another position, in another way, and think. And stop getting in our feelings, or because we feel a certain type of way, that might be the mess, the devil in you trying to discourage you. Hell, half of us devilish now trying to shake that shit off. We can't allow the flesh to mess us up, man. We had to have control over our mind and our heart and our spirit. Not our flesh having control over us. And they doing this. And out of state, I want you to just sit back, eat you some popcorn, and listen to these words that are coming out of my mouth. Imagine watching a movie, and all through the movie, you see black men and black women and children hung up in the tree by Caucasian men and Caucasian women. They did our ancestors so ruthless, y'all. And they say America is great, y'all. They want America great again. So you eating them popcorns and all you doing seeing the disrespect, the murdering, the rape, and more hanging, and more killings by the gun. And you got young black men and women running, they got dogs behind them. And when they catch them, if they don't rape the woman, they gonna kill the man, they gonna hang him up, drink whiskey, have a barbecue or whatever. Y'all looking at this as a movie. But this is real life for us. See, a lot of people, IQ on this is not high enough because they don't want to engage in what is real and what is fact. Because you have to have an IQ very high to understand what's really going on in this world. If you don't know what's going on in this world, if you don't see the things in a crafty council going in this world, then you need to be checking your IQ, bruh. You need to be checking your IQ, sis. Because you allow a lot of stuff to deteriorate you from the mindset that you're supposed to have. These people don't really care about us. And you look at these pictures. Dogs eating up, or they sicking the dogs on the man, the dog just ravaging them. After the dog rationing and bleeding, they probably cut his wood off and hang him. What people that had empathy, that no empathy, sympathy, or how in the heck you want to say it, cannot be on board with that law? I'm trying to figure it out too, fam. I'm trying to figure it out too.
Just watch.
150 years ago, or 200 years ago, when the blacks were slaves, did they ever go to Washington, D.C. and have a rally 200 years ago to protest against slavery? Did they? No. What did they do? Well, a lot of good people in the plantations would say, hey, it's winter time. Let us help build a church for you, dear folks. And they loved them and taught them how to read so they can read the Bible. And here's what the blacks did about 150 years ago. They humbled themselves. They prayed. They sought God's face and they turned from their wicked ways. And God made slavery illegal through several white presidents, right? It worked, didn't it? They didn't protest. Maybe there's a place for protest. I don't know. But there's sometimes
y'all, this is the mess that the Caucasian man be preaching all these years, y'all. Y'all hear that? What you think the Underground Railroad was about? What you think about Nat Turner with his cause? Because, every time our forefathers tried to revolt or tried to get out, what did the Caucasian man and Caucasian woman do? Again, we just talked about it, y'all. And then they'll get a couple of them to be an example and hang them up from the tree. So this is the mess that's why I want my brothers and sisters. I mean, want y'all to open up your eyes and see this stuff, man. Y'all just don't know. Now, if this dude actually think that he said in his own words that they civilized us, Caucasian people civilized us according to what he said. He said that we was wicked as hell. Of course, the Most High, I can't order that because the Most High put us in captivity. And he said that they had to teach us how to be civilized, and then we didn't protest and all this other stuff. We just got the Bible to them and this and that. And they reading the Bible right. That's why I tell y'all 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11 about the delusional state. Because you don't want to believe the truth that you can be saved, the Most High will bring a strong delusion that you believe a lie, right? So therefore, this dude actually believes that big old lie and telling his congregation that lie. So it's all right to go and hang somebody. It's all right to go kill somebody. It's all right to do all these massive and all these nasty things to somebody. It's all right. Under the Lord of God, huh? Who, the Lord of Satan? Because this is why a lot of people don't understand, and y'all feel a certain way when the truth come out. Because everybody had their rulership, and after their rulership, they got their punishment. But the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman, as a nation, because we look at the Most High dealing with us as an individual, yes, but in our nation. Because not thinking like Most High or whatever, I would say, for example, Most High is over there in Africa somewhere, right? And you know, something jump off, and Most High is over here, and the same thing jump off. He just used people to sort what's going on in that situation. Well, you're going to be an asshole, so okay, I'm going to shoot you with these assholes over here that I got something for they rump, because I got something for them before I take them out of here. So you come on over here and hit over here, because I need you to get them to this point so they can get to this point so I can get them to where I need to get them, so that ass will be mine when they soul come. So you might be that person, and then after that, you might be him waiting on you, plotting for you to get ready to put yourself down so he can deal with you. So the Most High, he going to match wicked with wickedness. That's why it said, if you messing with a wicked man, you're going to be a wicked woman. If you messing with a wicked woman, you're going to be a wicked man. That's all to it. But we don't have the intellectual thought, because our mind says, oh, sports and football. And they fail to realize I'm a sports fiend. I'm a football fiend. I love basketball fiend. I'm a girl fiend. I'm all these fiends. But where is that submerging your intellect to get your mind to a right place to think? Right now, we all robots out here. We punching cards. Yeah, pay bills. We just straight robot. What is the human us? That's why the people doing us like we are, because we straight robot. We trying to compete against us, our nation of people, and all these other in the world. We trying to compete, and we got certain people out here getting us in a mess. I hate him because. I hate her because. I don't like him because. I don't like him because, I'm gonna kill him because, I'm gonna kill her because, all that crazy stuff. Don't make no sense. Now, the Bible says in Job, the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. Is the earth given to the hands of the righteous, or is the earth given to the hands of the wicked? We got all this mess they don't want to do. I'm just sitting here just thinking, man. I'm telling you, y'all. I want y'all, you know, we got these TV screens out here, man. We watching this big old picture, how all this gonna fall into this place, this thing, how the Most High gonna set it up. Got all these wars setting up, boom, 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 boom. And then when America hit that boom, 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 and then everything, we don't even know how long we might be tomorrow. And we got to realize, you know, it's, stuff is so, it's so thick, it's so much corner of our nose, over our lip, that, you know, it ain't, I don't think it's going to be a way out to get out how, I don't think it's going to be a way they going to get out of this America building and growing again. I don't see. You know, I think we as a nation, we see. I think we as a nation, we're tired. I think we as a nation, we need and want peace. We tired of being servants. Let us be back in our rightful place. And the ones that don't want that, you know, hey, just give it to me. I'll take all y'all that reject that. You know what I'm saying? Just say, don't get the fade and just put it in the kitty. Just put it in the bucket. I appreciate you. Because living in this world shouldn't be like this, man. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm Uncle OG, right? So I'm in that era, in the 60-70 eras. You know what I'm saying? The 60-70 eras, around that era, right? And I see a whole lot of things change. When I'm growing up, and to see a whole lot of things change, and now I see, and when we got into the late 90s, it started running. Now we at the time. That joke is sprint. The Most High know these people crazy, but the prophecies must be fulfilled. Most High know these people gonna get it, but the action got to be set up. And the thing that we shouldn't do or be, we shouldn't be afraid. If you believe in the Most High and doing what you're supposed to be doing. No, things are, you know, stressful and we got this and that and this and that. You know, we just got to just try and just try to be humble, man. We just got to try to be humble to the Most High, man. I want to see all my brothers out there, the common man, them struggling out there. Trying to get it, barely getting it, going through it. And the common sister out there, going through it, trying to get it, and being righteous. Y'all try to get it, man. Don't see, we lost out on that Hollywood stuff. Even though we already know that Hollywood stuff ain't no good. But we gonna cash in when the Most High come. That's the thing. With Most High gives, no man can't take. You gotta stand strong. You know, be encouraging. Some days you'll be like, ugh. But start putting joy in your heart, man. Start looking for joy. You know, happiness is like the wind. It comes and it goes. But joy is branded and grounded. And how would you know, Faith? How would you know? As I do my life reflection, I can't remember ever I've been happy. Oh, Faith, you've been happy. Stop playing. It's been so long, or even if I ever been happy. You know, maybe my happiness was different from most of y'all, right? Such as I wanted me a nice house, the common molested mind that we were programmed to have and do, but it didn't come to pass. I like to have me that. I like to have me the things that I want, but I'm not happy. But one thing about it, I'm not salty and I have joy in my heart. The peace I have in my heart, it can be disturbed, but the Most High got me. The pain I have in my heart, hey, the tear duct good for that. The stress I have on my mind, hey, the weight room for that. And the wolf on my back, hey, the run is for that. Get your mind straight. Get your heart straight. James 4:4. Either you love the Most High and hate the world, or love the world and hate the Most High. Y'all know the deal. Y'all know y'all heart. Y'all know what it is. You going out here entertaining all your energy on silly stuff that lowering your IQ and your mindset. Listen to them housewives world or girls or housewives and all that. How is that giving you intellectual? How is that giving you the building up your IQ? How is that?
I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. I'm just trying to make. And I'm an island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. I'm an island boy. I'm just trying to make. And I'm an island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. These streets keep calling me. They don't want me to leave the life behind. Staring at the stars, wishing I had the time. But my kids need food and my girl needs me. And sometimes I dream that I'm finally free. So baby, don't play me, I ain't no toy. I'm a prisoner here, but I still make noise. And I'ma shout that I'm about it with all my voice. I'm a street kid now, but one day I'll be an island boy. I'm just trying to make it, I'm an island boy.
I'ma keep it like an island boy.
I'm an island boy.